The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
At Bettenhausen, CDJR.com.
From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, this is the home of the White Sox.
ESPN 1000.
WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
Get Carmen and Yurko Pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hope everyone's having a great Tuesday. We got day baseball coming up. There's been a change in the White Sox schedule in Detroit, so 11:30 is the pregame. Jesse Rogers in a minute. See what La Russa had to say, if anything new at all, about Carlos Rodon after last night. Rodon didn't sound as serious. He sounded frustrated. We just played the two-minute exchange. He finally said to the reporters, look, I get his frustration. I'm not going to fire on Carlos Rodon. I get it. He said, guys, is this going to be about how I feel, or can we talk about the game? And Jesse kind of pressed him and said, look, we're asking because Tony said there's some concern, and he didn't want to go any further.
I mean, I can ask him a question. Well, why didn't you make it to the fourth inning? I mean, that's about the game, but it's also about the way it feels, right?
No, that would have been about the game.
Yeah, it's about the game. Why couldn't you make it to the fourth inning? Not for nothing, champ.
Aaron Rodgers famously told Green Bay fans a number of years ago to R-E-L-A-X, right? Relax. Yeah. He said, everybody relax.
I had to remind Packer fans of that and how bad they usually are at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, right. Before we get to Jesse, Patrick says we should all relax. I hope Patrick's right. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, what's going on, guys? No, yeah, I don't understand really all the doom and gloom with Rodon. I mean, he came into the year as the fifth starter. And he had a sensational first half, but he's never really been able to prove it over a long period of time. Anyways, it's not like the 2016 Cubs losing John Lester.
Well, so difference, though, Patrick, is things do change as the year goes on. He might have been the fifth starter who was non-tendered at the start of the year, but guess what?
He's three now.
Yeah, he's three now. I mean, I think that's where, and when the manager says, we're a little concerned, I think that's why all of a sudden you go, oh boy, that doesn't sound great. You don't want Keuchel starting at this point, and he still might not have to.
I get it. I get it. But at the same time, I feel like, in the postseason, we all know, obviously the pitching staff is really condensed.
Yeah.
You could always go with a combination of Kopech, Crochet in the game four.
Interesting.
And kind of go with, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, just my thoughts.
Do like the opener thing. Yeah, Patrick, thanks, buddy. I love the role for Kopech. I hope they don't mess with that. I don't even think they should think about an opener or any of that. I think the role for him has been good. But that's an interesting thought, and they might have to get creative with how they do this if Rodon's not totally healthy, or at least close enough to healthy to go out and pitch very, very well. Let's get out to the Corona Hotline and bring in our guy Jesse Rogers. He is brought to you by my guys at the Pride Stores. Jesse was on the Zooms last night. I saw his tweet. That's how I originally found out about it. Yeah, I was like, oh boy, 69 pitches, three innings.
Not nice.
A little concerned. Yeah. Jess, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, good to talk to you guys. It is definitely going to be a rainy day today and tomorrow, so I don't know when they're going to clinch this thing. But we know it's going to happen. But, yeah, the news is definitely all about Carlos Rodon. And, just to play off what your caller said, at that time, Keuchel was your number two, right, or three.
Yeah.
Now he's your five. So things change. You need Rodon from the first half to help you win a playoff series. But obviously that's not going to be the case. Look, I get the difference in sort of context or vibe from Tony La Russa. He's the manager. He sees the guy come out after three innings and 69 pitches, express soreness. He's going to have some concern. Scott Boras happens to be here. That's Rodon's agent. I talked to Scott. Obviously, you heard Rodon last night. I agree with you, Carmen. There's frustration there.
Yeah.
They say it's all fatigue-related from the innings jump. The MRIs are clean. It's just fatigue. But this guy is getting extra rest on top of extra rest. And he's still coming out of games early. So there is concern. Now, he will prep for his next start, which won't be until next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, that'll be his final start of the season. Mm-hmm. So that's another week off.
Yep.
We'll see how that goes. But I don't think there's any doubt they have to sort of reconfigure what they were thinking about the playoffs. One of my initial thoughts was maybe you slide him all the way to game. First of all, if he's going to pitch in the playoffs, he's got to pitch either game two or game four because it's before a day off. And that means you can unload your bullpen if you have to. But maybe you push him all the way to four, Maybe a sweep. You don't even need to throw him. You push him to four, okay. It's not a perfect scenario, but if he goes short, you bring in your bullpen early. You have the day off before game five. Or he doesn't start at all. I mean, that's the other scenario. And you do things differently there. You could go on with three starters. You could see how Keiko performs here in his last couple starts and move him up. That'd be probably the most likely scenario if Rodon can't pitch in a playoff game. But, you know, one day at a time here. But I don't think there's any doubt there's a serious concern. Even if it's not a bad MRI, if he has fatigue, well, is it going to go away in a week? I don't know.
Right.
Don't know.
Like, Jess, in just kind of fill us in on what the last couple months has been like. I mean, while, you know, they had to shut him down for a little while. And, I mean, like, the MRIs were clean, right? It's just there's some – he's pitched three times the number of innings this year than he's pitched the last couple combined. You know, I keep making that point. We've all made it throughout the course of the year. I mean, while there might not be anything structurally wrong, it could still very much be affecting the way he pitches, or his effectiveness, I guess, because there was really nothing dirty on that first MRI, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. What happened is what happened last night. Look, he struck out, what, five in the first two innings,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden the third inning, the fatigue sets in. So he could be a 2-3 inning pitcher. It's not ideal, but maybe you could find a spot for him. I don't know if it'd be in the bullpen, but I'm talking about sort of a quasi-opener, like I was saying before. Or you just, you know, ignore it and start Keiko, you know, and just move on, because trying to, you know, fudge him in there for a few innings just might not be the right thing. It does sound like a fatigue thing, the innings jump. Could the Sox have done it differently? Maybe treated him like Michael Kopech, you know, treated him like it was his first or second year in the league? I mean, we could always go back and look at those things. The guy was like a Cy Young candidate for about 4 months.
Yep.
So I'm not sure they did anything wrong, and they're just trying to do the right thing here, giving him 9 days, 7 days, 8 days. And, you know, yesterday was very telling because he had, what, 9 days between starts and still couldn't get more than three innings in.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jess. I wouldn't look at anything they've done and said, oh, you did this wrong. They've tried to find spots to rest him. They shut him down a little while. Since July 1st, he has exactly one start where he's thrown over 100 pitches.
Yeah.
One since July 1st. Now, there was a run in June, but like Jesse said, the guy was a Cy Young candidate. He had four starts in June. He was over 102 pitches in every one of those starts. So if anything, maybe a point to that. I don't know, but he's had one start since July 1st where he's gone over 100 pitches. I don't think they've been careless or reckless with him, Jess.
Well, the one thing I did look this up, I mentioned this on the pregame show yesterday, all four of the main starters, probably Keuchel too, but I didn't look him up, have averaged like 95 pitches per start. That's from Giolito to Lynn to Cease and Rodon. My point being, okay, they've obviously figured out that's the number they're going to go with. Should they have gone low? I mean, can you stay in the 80s with a starting pitcher for the entirety of a season? I don't know, but obviously they're in this predicament now. I think you have to be concerned. You have to think about now Keiko is a four. If you go with three starters, that means Lance Lynn pitches on short rest, I'm sorry, in game four. And I would assume Giolito would be your guy on full rest in game five. Do you really want to throw anybody on short rest? If you do, Lynn would be the guy.
Yes.
He's got a rubber arm.
Correct.
But I'm not sure you want to do that. Obviously, I wouldn't start Keuchel, just talking out loud here, you know, on the road. You do that at home along with Cease. The Cease is much better at home. So, to me, it might turn into a Lynn, Giolito, Cease, Keuchel, you know, one through four if you start on the road, which they probably will.
All right, Jess.
But let's not cross off Rodon just yet.
Yeah, you know? No, I'd say, yeah, see. Absolutely. Okay, what else should we know for today? I mean, health-wise, you know, it's been all season. I mean, it's not just Rodon, and he, you know, I mean, it's guys have been coming and going on that stupid injured list all year. So how do they feel in these final couple of weeks about getting guys back healthy for October 1?
All right, so Adam Engel is back. Today will mark the third game all season. That Engel's in right, Luis Roberts in center, and Eloy Jimenez is in left.
The third game all season. And Jesse makes that point because that was supposed to be their starting outfield.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Third game,
but of course,
September
21st. The guy that would move to DH, Andrew Vaughn, is still out.
Right.
I saw him doing some drills this morning out in the outfield, so that's good news. I talked to Ryan Tepera, who's got a Band-Aid on his right index finger, so He's still probably a week away.
He thinks he might
get two games in before the postseason. This is a guy that hurt his finger leaving his apartment in Chicago to come to the ballpark, shut the door on his finger. Oh. There was a metal whatever sticking out. So, it's just one thing after another, Carmen. They're not the only team like that, but it does feel like, man, they have not had a full team all season long. I think it feels that way because it has been that way.
Yeah. All right, Jess, anything else?
Well, like I said, rain today, they're going to try to get five in. So you want to get a lead, right?
Yeah.
Get a lead, and then if they win this thing, and they might clinch tonight if Cleveland loses. Cleveland's playing awful right now. I think Detroit's going to finish in second place. And if they considered things other than playoff teams, A.J. Hinch might be up for manager of the year, but he won't be.
Absolutely.
They are very high. This is why
he'll never get votes because of the scandal. Too many people are hung up on that.
Right.
He'll never get votes.
Right.
They're 68-69 against everybody in Major League Baseball other than the White Sox. White Sox have done pretty well against them this year. 68-69 with that team. They're going to be about a 500 team with that team.
There's actually some buzz about Detroit moving forward. That's why Scott Boras is here. He's got a couple of high prospects that are sort of making their debuts or taking BP with the team, draft picks. So he's here to be with them. And then obviously I know he's settled with Rodon since last night. Anyway, so they can get five in today because tomorrow's almost for sure going to be a wash. And then, the day game doubleheader Thursday. So they may not clinch till Thursday, but clinching's not the issue. Or staying healthy and starting to play some good baseball. I think I've talked to Tony a couple times about this. He's a little worried. They're about 500 team since the break, okay? Yes. You know what? The Astros are like 9 over since the break, and they've had that division pretty much locked up for most of the year as well. So, you know, one team's playing pretty well. The other team's just, average right now and trying to get healthy. So still some question marks. I know Chuck was on earlier and he's a little concerned, but, we saw this September of 2005, right? They looked terrible and then they won the World Series. So who knows?
Correct. Yeah, we saw that. That's a good point. I mean, once you get to October, goofy things happen in baseball and they're talented enough to just flip the switch and go.
You hope so.
Kike, I was talking to Dallas Keuchel yesterday and he kept using the word luck in October. I go, you mean fortune, that feels a little fortune. Different than luck. He's like, no, I mean luck. It takes luck. 3 out of 5, 5, 4 out of 7. It's you need some luck. Just something that you don't expect happens to go your way. And I'm like, I guess he's right.
There's a lot of randomness. But to Jesse's point too, do you guys want to hear a stat real quick?
Yes.
The White Sox in their last 10 games are 5-5. In their last 20, they're 10-10. You want to take a guess what they are in their last 30, Yerk?
15-15.
Yes. It's like, it's that sort of like, I don't want to say limp to the finish. That's just like a sort of, oh my God, get us to the finish. We've had this thing wrapped up for a while. We haven't been healthy. Let's hope we're all healthy when it matters most when the calendar flips to October.
Yeah, 15-15
in their last 30.
They're going to be clear. For a while there, I thought it'd be like if it was a football game, almost an even point spread, -1 or -2. They're going to be clear underdogs against the Astros.
Yes.
It's going to be like the Astros -4 or -5. And that's okay. Plenty of underdogs, +4 or +5 win outright. But it's pretty clear now they're going to be underdogs, and they're just going to have to, win down there one of those first two, and then you take command. I mean, as some people are debating, I think, guys, who's going to start game one. There is no doubt in my mind Lance Lynn is starting.
I couldn't imagine. By the way, since the Astros, 2015? When did the window open for the Astros? When did they return to the playoffs, guys? 15, 16, whenever it was.
Yeah.
The Astros actually have a better road record in the playoffs than they do home record. Go figure that. For as well as they've played at home and the whole cheating thing, they've actually got a better record on the road in the playoffs.
Weren't they in the World Series where every road team won the game?
That's from the Nationals.
Nationals. You're right, Yurko.
Yes.
That's correct.
The road team won every game.
All 7. That's right. Jess, good stuff. We'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Well, Carmen, just bring your garbage cans next month. We need you.
I will.
Come on.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jesse.
All right. See you, Yurko.
See you, buddy. There's Jesse Rogers. Yes.
So if the White Sox win today, do they just celebrate tonight if the Indians lose, or how does that work?
I think they probably do. It's going to be weird because they're going to leave the park if they win today, right? They're not going to wait around.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, Merck. Maybe they celebrate tomorrow. Who cares? I got bigger fish to fry.
Just a simple question, Carm.
No. I mean, I know. An all-team celebrate. Yeah. Look, the Giants celebrated when they clinched a spot. Let alone the division.
Hey, it's a long season.
I know it is. Baseball's a long. Like Lenny Dykstra says in the Mets documentary, It's not football. Yeah. If you can understand what Lenny's saying, it's not 17 weeks. It's 162 effing games, man.
I think he...
I need a translator to understand
what
Lenny...
Did you watch more than the first episode?
I watched the first two. Okay. Maybe we can spend a minute on it coming up here. Oh, and I think Mellor still wanted to play that great revelation, too.
Well, you saw it in the second episode, then. I don't know if it stood out to you, but if you saw the second episode...
I did. I saw the first two. Yeah. It's really good. I mean, it is. It's really good. That team, man... They had some characters, and I was about to be 10, you know, that year, and I was young in my fandom, but I was a couple of seasons in where you really started paying attention and you started knowing the players, and like, even though I certainly wasn't a Mets fan, like you couldn't help but be captivated by Daryl Strawberry and by Doc Gooden. I mean, it was really those two. It was Doc and it was Daryl Strawberry because they were so highly touted,
right.
They were so young, and they were so good. I mean, they were just so... I mean, what Doc Gooden did when he came up, you know, it was like... That was the first, like, wow moment. I was a little young for Fernando Mania, Yerk. That was more your wheelhouse.
Yeah, that was my wheelhouse.
I was a little young for that, you know? And it's like, Doc Gooden was the first, like, oh, my God, superstar. Like, this 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid who's just unbelievable. So I've enjoyed the first two parts of this Once Upon a Time in Queens, for sure. So we can play that revelation coming up real quick. Oh, and there's a new favorite in the NL for MVP, and I'm very excited. We'll be right back.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Spring training of 85, I got a call from the FBI office in Pittsburgh by an FBI agent, and I hung up on him.
In the past, Keith Hernandez has denied using drugs. Today, here in Pittsburgh, he told a federal jury he had taken so much cocaine in 1980 that he had no recollection of the entire year.
That's a lot of cocaine. I mean, I've never done cocaine. Rick James, cocaine's a hell of a drug. I mean, but to do enough where you could, it sounds like he could have killed a horse. He didn't remember the year. Kirby, I always wonder, like, these guys... Keith Hernandez was a terrific baseball player. Like, what if he didn't take cocaine? Did it make him better? I don't know. Maybe it did. That's why I don't like the whole steroid thing. They talk about it in the documentary, and most of us who are old enough already knew a lot of this. If you're just learning about the 86 Mets and those mid-80s Mets teams, the whole clubhouse, we've joked for years, was on coke and on amphetamines. The entire team.
Right.
Well, except for Gary
Carter. Gary Carter, yes.
Because Gary Carter was very religious, except Gary Carter. And I love Keith Hernandez saying how nobody could stand him. The whole team was on drugs. And so that's why the whole steroids thing really gets on my... Oh, you can't put them in the Hall of Fame. They're on steroids. What do you think? Greenies and coke didn't help these guys?
That's right.
Get through the dog days?
Drugs, baby.
I mean, please. So I don't like it, the argument. And I've expressed that before. Yurko has too. But the documentary has been extremely well done. They are weaving it into... sort of what life was like in New York City through the late 70s when it was really about as bad as it could be. And it was like that in a lot of big cities across America back then. But how bad things had gotten by the late 70s through the blackout, through the early 80s, through the recession and the Carter years and all that, and how by the mid 80s things had started coming back to life in New York City, and how the Mets, for a change, not the Yankees, were the team that everybody was buzzing about. And they had these young stars and a few of the old guys, like, you know, when they traded for Gary Carter, when they traded for Keith Hernandez. So I like how they're weaving the stories together. Lenny Dykstra is out of his friggin' mind, but those of us that are Howard Stern fans have known that for quite some time. But he was another hell of a player. I loved Lenny Dykstra when I was a kid because he just seemed like a badass.
Nails, right?
Yeah, he was nails. He was nails. Like, you know, and they talk about in the documentary, they went to scout him, York, at like an open tryout in California. He was 5'7". He was 5'0", 100 and nothing.
Right.
You know, and so Nails was like Waddle. He was one of those guys you looked at and you go, oh, well, if they can do it, yeah. I can. Now, of course, I can't, but I couldn't.
Well, you couldn't hit the curve.
Right? I think it's the first time Lenny Dykstra has been compared to Tom Waddle.
Right, yeah, absolutely. It gave you hope. Remember, like, Waddle gave us hope when we were kids. We're like, wait, Waddle can play in the NFL? Well, maybe I can play in the NFL, you know? If Lenny Dykstra can play baseball.
Totally discounting any skill that Tommy Waddle has.
Well, when you get older, you learn. When I was 11, what did I know? Like, I thought, well, I could be like Lenny Dykstra. Not so much.
Maybe in prison, but not in the baseball field.
But the documentary has been good. I still have two parts to go. It's a 4-hour documentary. I'm halfway through. And Meller and Merck have watched the whole thing, and absolutely, I've heard everybody's loved it. Yeah. That's watched it. So and if you like baseball, you'll like it.
So I was amused by the part that Keith Hernandez admitting that he had done so much cocaine that he forgot an entire
year,
which is something. But that was not the most surprising revelation to me, Carm.
All right.
Later in that same second episode is when Daryl Strawberry dropped this gem. And I actually had to rewind to make sure I heard what I actually heard.
Play it.
My mom, she said, you need to just focus on your baseball career and leave those girls alone and stop drinking. Wish I would have listened to mom.
Leading off, I always say, why a whooping walk? I always picked one chick out, one chick, and the sailing play for you.
There were girls, you know, that would be in the stands and look at you and you point them out to the kids and tell them to meet you down underneath the tunnel on somewhere and you do whatever, I guess. You know, you want to have fun at the ballpark when you're playing between innings, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't have nothing, you know, to be ashamed of. It was life, you know, it's just the way it was. It was fast, you know? Girls wanted to have fun.
Basically, Daryl Strawberry is telling you between innings. Yeah. Not only were they doing coke and amphetamines in the clubhouse, it sounds like
they're getting their whistle wet.
Yeah. Like between. You talk about the Wild West.
Hey, Davey, when am I up this inning?
Davey.
All right, I'll be right back.
Be back.
Strawberry, you're hitting six. I got time.
Quickie then. Six. It'll be a quickie.
I got a problem with my cup. I got to go adjust it.
Animals. How they ever had time to go win games is amazing. I mean, they really were talented. They won 108 games that year.
Between innings. Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy.
It's pretty unbelievable. I mean, it is.
That takes balls.
Yeah, it does.
Both literally and figuratively. Yes.
It does. So it's good for people who want to check it out. It's on ESPN, and it's been good. And I still have to watch the last two parts. Bryce Harper is now the favorite for NL MVP, Yurko. Which makes me happy since I put
you've got a ticket on him.
I put a small wager. In full disclosure,
what do you have,
a half unit on because when I made the bet 6 weeks ago, I'm like, this is a real long shot. I mean, Tatis is going to walk to this thing.
I bet Bryce before the season started.
Good for you. What did
you get him at? 12-1?
I'll have to check. 15, maybe 20?
See, I have him at 4-1.
Okay.
I mean, he was already second or third choice when I made the bet.
What'd you put, $3 on it?
No, I put a little more than that.
I bet you my bet can still pay more because he probably put $10. Would you put $100?
He doesn't have $100. He doesn't have $100 on any wager.
So I do have a small wager on Harper. I hope that hits. The little spat between Tatis and Machado from the weekend might not do Tatis any favors. I don't know. I mean, Machado was heard really going after him, saying it's not about you. It's not about you. They're in a tailspin. They've had some unfortunate injuries. They really have. Their rotation just got decimated in the second half. Yurko, to your delight, I'm sure, the old Yu Darvish is back. I mean, but he's also been hurt. But, I mean, you
and
went
Arrieta,
for
me. Arrieta went over there and did nothing, right?
No, of course not, yeah.
Arrieta went over to do nothing.
No.
He's hurt. Yeah. He's got a strained calf.
Their whole staff has been decimated, and they were like at 90% to make the playoffs, and they're going to miss. I mean, they've really gone into tailspin.
So they really weren't 90% to make the playoffs.
No. Well, they were projected at about 90% to make.
Carm,
the playoffs.
I got him at 20-1 before this.
That's great, Merck. Yeah. Boy, I mean,
that's one hell. Add $10 probably. That's what you put on him, right?
See, I'll still make more if you put $10 on it.
I'll still make twenty bucks on him.
He's going to make more.
All right, $400. Yeah.
No, yeah, he'll make more. He'll make
400 if he's got 20 on him.
Yes, so he'll make a little bit more. But, yeah, I got it very, very late. I get in that bet. But, hey, here's to you, Bryce Harper. That team stinks, too. I love Bryce. Bryce is great. I mean, he really is. They lost. They got shut out by the Orioles last night at home. Are you kidding?
Embarrassing.
You're in a race.
He's with the Phillies, right?
Yes, you're getting shut out by the Orioles at home. Shame on you.
It's not good.
But Bryce is a superb offensive player. He really is. White Sox baseball is coming up next. Enjoy the day. White Sox can clinch later today. We'll see how they do in their game. It's down to two. So if they win and Cleveland loses tonight, the division is theirs. Connor's coming up with the pre. Thanks to Jesse Rogers. Thank you for listening. And great job by Midway, Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss, and Randy Merkin. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. Keith Hernandez has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Spring training of 85, I got a call from the FBI office in Pittsburgh by an FBI agent, and I hung up on him.
In the past, Keith Hernandez has denied using drugs. Today, here in Pittsburgh, he told a federal jury he had taken so much cocaine in 1980 that he had no recollection of the entire year.
That was The Final Word on Carmen and Yurko.